morning, and Ash is going to come and read to us from John chapter 4 this morning. Thanks very much indeed.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from John chapter 4, verses 27 through to 38. If you have the church Bible, it's page 1008, 1008. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, those who reap draw their wages. Even now, they harvest the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor."
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Do keep that passage open in your Bibles, and we're going to take a look a little bit at that today. So we're in a series called When, Being a Follower of Jesus, When, and we've already looked at When I'm Obedient, and we've looked at, what was last week's? You've forgotten as well, haven't you? When Life's Not Fair. Do you remember that? But you've all had a great week, so you've got over that one. So today I want to talk about When I'm Working. And I know the last thing you want to think about on a Sunday is work, isn't it? Because Sunday is the day when you don't work. Well, I'm sorry to do that, but I think it's a really important aspect of our following Jesus. So do catch up with the series so far on the podcast, and we're going to think about this aspect of following Jesus when I'm working. Do you remember somebody asking you, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Did somebody ever ask you that question? Do you ask people that question now? Yeah, it's one of those questions. Did anybody become what they wanted to be when they grew up? Yeah, a few people. Very good indeed. It'd be great if I just asked the adults today, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Chris, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because, you know, you've had enough of doing what you're doing, haven't you? You know, maybe there's something else. A really good doctor he wants to be when he grows up. No, that would be a blessing to everybody. But I wanted to be a pilot when I was a kid. I've no idea why I wanted to be a pilot. And clearly I didn't make it, did I? But for some unknown reason, and this was a long time ago before planes were invented, I wanted to be a pilot for some reason, but now I just take people on a different journey to a world that is beyond the world now. So I've sort of become a little bit of a pilot, I guess, trying to lead people to a different place. I was a paper boy once. Anybody else was a paper boy or paper girl? Yeah, we've all done that, haven't we? £1 a week I got for 6 mornings a week. That's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine £1 a week for getting up at 6 in the morning? It's about the same as being a minister, to be honest. But other than that, things haven't changed quite so much. But of course, all of us work. And just because you're not in paid employment, I don't want you to switch off today. Because you work. And you know that, don't you? Because I know that many of you are exhausted from work since you've been retired, aren't you? Every day is just exhausting because you work. And work is, whether paid or unpaid, whether voluntary or compulsory, planned or spontaneous, everyone works. We all do something. We might not think that it's valued and nobody puts a price on it, but all of us are working in some sense or another. For some people, work is what they do between weekends and holidays, isn't it? You know, I meet lots of people who, you know, they've just come back from a holiday, they go to work, and they're already telling me, hey, it's only 16 weeks before my next holiday. Hooray! And so work is like the chore between the next holiday. Some people live to work, other people work to live, and you know who those people are. There are people who are driven by work, and that's all they do. For other people, work is just something that provides them food on the table. If you want a definition of work, there are lots of definitions of work out there, of course, but I wanted this one. An activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result, a task or tasks to be undertaken. No mention of payment, no mention of time scales, just something that you do. And so I think all of us here are work. We're doing work of some sort. And I want to think about what the significance of that work might be. Some of you already, you're getting ready for tomorrow morning, aren't you? Some of you are already in the mode. When you get home from church today, some of you are going to be preparing, ready for Monday morning. And you're feeling a bit like the Bangles feel. Do you know the Bangles? It's just another manic Monday. I wish it was Sunday, because that's my fun day. My I don't have to run day. It's just another manic Monday. And so this whole psyche gets into us that Mondays are a curse and work is a curse rather than it being something that could be used for God's purposes. Dolly Parton, she only worked 9 to 5. Very good indeed. You're doing very well. Many of you, you're saying, if only I could work 9 to 5, that would be amazing. Because that would be much easier if I could only work 9 to 5. Some of you are saying about retirement, you know, we're all looking forward to retirement, those of us that are still paid to work. But of course, you're telling me when you retire, if only it was retirement, because it's got crazy since you were retired as well. But work is something we're designed for. Work's something I think that God put into us as human beings. It's something that God wants to use in order to help us to become who he really wants us to become. In fact, I'd go far to say that work is an expression of our humanity. And work is an expression of our relationship with God as well. So I want to say 3 simple things about work today. And I don't want to cause dread in you. I don't want you to start worrying about tomorrow just yet. But whether work for you is writing a letter, whether it's making a visit, whether it's doing some DIY, whether it's caring for your child or grandchild in the coming week, whether it's hoovering or shopping or teaching or performing life-saving surgery, whether it's providing personal care for someone in need that you care about, or whether it's leading a church, I want to say 3 things about work in terms of how I think God wants us to see it and how I think the Bible wants us to understand it. So the first thing I want to say about work, and some of you may not disagree, may disagree with this, but work is good. Can we say that? Work is good. Say it tomorrow morning. Say it later on today. Work is good. Work is good. We're human beings, not human doings. I know that. But being human, I think, does mean that we do things. We work. Whatever that looks like. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, right at the very beginning, if you've got your Bibles, just flip back right to the very beginning, the first page. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. We're created by a creator. We're created by someone who worked, someone who did something, someone who had an end product. We are created by a creator, made in his likeness, created to create. In verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, he said to them, I want you to work. I haven't put you here for nothing. I want you to work. Work comes from God. Work is good. God blessed them. He said, be fruitful. There's only one way to be fruitful. You've got to work at it. He says, increase in number. Fill the earth. That takes a bit of effort to fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish. There's work to be done for you to rule what it is that I've created for you. God has put work as part of our humanity. And we're created to create. We're produced to produce. We're designed to design. Work was not a result of sin. Work happened before the fall. Work is not the biggest curse that God could possibly give to us as a punishment. Work in God's eyes is good. Because a good working God gave us good work to do. Some of you are hating me now already. I know that. But, you know, hang on in there with me, won't you? I hope for the rest of this time. In Genesis chapter 2 and verses 5 to 6, in the second account of how God created for us, given to us in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, "Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground." So nothing was happening. God hadn't done anything that needed anybody to work until this moment. Verse 6, Genesis 2, 6. "But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust." Then he put somebody in there to work it at that particular moment. And verse 15 of chapter 2, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." The oldest profession is not what you think it is. The oldest profession in the world is gardening. It's to put the man into that space to work it. Because work is good. It came before the fall. It was what God intended for us. And every day we read in the story, in the account, God every day did something and he saw that it was good. Whenever God worked, he saw it was good. And he gave work to us to do exactly the same. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, this is what Eugene Peterson in The Message takes that verse. He says, "Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Whatever you do," he's saying, "this is given back to God. Every ounce of work that you do, everything that you do, voluntary or paid, whatever it is, give it back to God as an offering. Something that is pleasing to him. Something that is good in his sight." Now back to our reading today that Ash read to us. It's interesting how much work was going on here. John chapter 4 verse 27, the disciples had returned and they'd returned from a shopping trip. If you read a bit earlier in John chapter 4, Jesus sent them off to go and get some food. And they had done what they were asked to do, which is unusual for a group of men. But they had done everything they did. They went shopping and they came back with food. He'd given them work to do. The woman at the well, she'd come to the well to do some work, to collect water with a jar. So she was in the mode of it. And whilst the disciples were away, in John chapter 4 verse 34, Jesus was finishing the work of the Father. There was a purpose, there was a reason why Jesus was there at that time, because there was work to be done, good work to be done, the work of the Father that Jesus had come to do. Work is good, good work is good. And when you line your work up with God's purposes, when God is right at the heart of the work you do, then it can only be good. John chapter 5 verse 17, Jesus says, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." I'm aligning myself to God's purposes. And when I do that, this is good work. This is the thing that God has given for me to do. So that's the first thing I want you to take away with you today. Work is good. Second thing I want to just talk about as well today is that work is sacred. All of us are involved in something bigger than we think we're involved in. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Just turn a few pages to Colossians 3 and verse 23. Always get mixed up with these ones. Colossians 3. 23. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters." Our work is bigger than we think when we work with all our heart and we dedicate it back to God. See, what God wants to do is bring completion, wholeness. He wants to bring his kingdom in to this world. It's what Jesus came in and declared right from the very beginning of his ministry. I've come to declare the kingdom to you. He passed that task on to his disciples and his followers and said, this is your task now. I want you to go and preach about the kingdom. I want you to live out the kingdom. And so every moment of our working life, whatever it is we're doing, it has bigger impact than sometimes we see. When we see that it's whatever we do it for the Lord, then it becomes something bigger, something significant, something kingdom building, whatever it is that we do. You know, sometimes we don't think what we do is important, but God wants to take this work that he's given you to do and transform it into seeing his kingdom come in. God's plan is that we get involved in his story. We get involved in what he wants us to do. We do it in the way that he chooses for us to do it. You know, I think Christianity believes that all work has dignity. And we're engaged in something that brings life and vitality and change to the people who we serve as well. And Christians, we've got to be careful not to divorce our faith from our work. We've got to be careful not to separate Sunday from Monday. We've got to see it all as a whole where God is concerned, to make it what it's intended to, a sacred activity. If we're different on a Sunday to how we work on a Monday, then we've separated those two things. And God's saying, no, there's something bigger going on here. This is for my glory and my purposes. In our reading in John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus says, open your eyes, look at the fields, they're ripe for harvest. There's something for you to do out there. When you go through the office door, open your eyes, see what's there. When you go into your neighbor's house to serve them, open your eyes, see what's there. There's something bigger going on that God wants us to be part of. Thus the saying, Jesus says, one sows, another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of your labor. See, there's something already in motion when you get involved in doing what God wants you to do. There's something already happening and God's saying, I want you to join in with that. I want you to look after people in the way that I want you to look after people. I want you to serve other people in the way that reflects who I am. I want you to teach in a way that demonstrates something of the love, something of the kingdom values of the kingdom. I want you to be part of this. Because what I think is that work matters to God and God matters to my work. It's a two-way process in this. My work matters to God. And God matters to my work. We have to go back a few hundred years to see where this idea began to form in Christian thinking. In fact, it goes back to Martin Luther in the 15th and 16th centuries. He was the first theologian who began to see that we can't separate the sacred from the secular. He railed against it in a lot of his writings. He said, you know what, there's no difference between sacred and secular. This is all God's economy. This is all God's world. And we need to keep the two together. There's no separation between spiritual and temporal. And Martin Luther obviously got into a lot of trouble over lots of what he said. But that was one of the things that he got in trouble for as well. Because all work done in faith in God's economy should be seen as a vocation. It's literally a call from God to fulfill his purposes. What will it look like for your work to be seen as sacred? Some of you maybe already understand that what you're involved in has eternal significance, not only for the individual who you're with, but for someone, something wider and bigger than that. Sacred just means connected to God. That's all the word sacred means. And when we see our work connected to God, when we don't divorce the two things, whatever it is, then I believe God can take our offering and use it for his glory and for his purposes. The challenges you face, the frustrations you have, the disappointments that you have. What if we could hand them over to God and say, God, this is for you. And it's tough, but this is for you, and your purposes will be worked out. You know, in the Hebrew Old Testament, the The word used for work is avoda. And that word not only means work, it also means worship. The two are the same. There's that idea that, you know, we can't separate work and worship because it's all for God's glory and for his purposes. And imagine the difference it can make for each one of us if our work is part of our worship and we don't separate it. God matters to your work, and your work matters to God. Work is sacred, so please don't separate it. And finally, I just want to say that work is meaningful as well. Work is meaningful. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, he says that we're co-workers with God. We're not isolated on our own, even if we feel it at times. God is working with us, in us, through us, to do what he wants us to do. Jesus made a call for us to be salt and light in the world. For those of you that are paid in your employment, you're being paid to be light in your office, in your workplace. You're being paid to be light, to be a reflection of who God is. It's that meaningful and purposeful. Where are you going to be at 11:30 tomorrow on a Monday? Some of you have got something planned already. Some of you haven't got a clue what's going to be going on. Some of you, you know you're going to be in a classroom or in operating theatre or in a care home or in an office or in your study. You know what you're going to be doing at 11:30 tomorrow morning. You're going to be there for a reason, whatever it is. You're going to be there for a reason in that place with those people, interacting, working, volunteering, whatever it is you're going to be doing. You're going to be there for a purpose that is bigger than perhaps you realize. Because your work is meaningful in God's eyes, for his glory, for his purposes. And you're part of something bigger. Yeah, the work that you're going to do tomorrow morning at 11:30 is part of what God has planned in the bigger scheme of things. Not only just for that moment, but for what's gone before and what's still to come. That God wants to use that moment, that 11:30 on a Monday morning, for his purposes as part of his bigger plan. And if you can see it like that and align yourself to what it is that he wants you to do, then who knows the potential that's wrapped up in your work tomorrow at 11:30. Now, I realize you may be doing a job that you really don't like at 11:30 tomorrow morning. And the last thing you wanted to think about today was what was going to happen in 24 hours' time. I realize that. It's never happened to me, by the way, can I just say? And I'm not expecting it to be any different tomorrow. And when the alarm goes off tomorrow morning, and it's called an alarm for a reason, isn't it? It's meant to make us alarmed. Whatever time you set it for tomorrow morning, when it goes off, even if you've slept, you might be dreading going in tomorrow morning or dreading the thing that you've got to do. In fact, this afternoon, you'll be starting to get irritable and edgy, won't you? Because tomorrow's coming. And it may not be easy, but what if we started to think a bit differently? What if the fact that you're a follower of Jesus, going to work tomorrow, changed something in you today? What if, because you knew it was good and you knew it was sacred and you knew it was meaningful, what if that changed what was going to happen at 11:30 tomorrow morning? I mean, your boss will still be the same. Still cranky, I expect. The students will still be the same. Some of them won't want to do any work. The work you're going to do may not change as well. But you may be different as you approach it, as you walk into that environment, because you're going to be working for a different person with a different perspective, with a new sense of what I'm doing is valuable for the kingdom of God. You're part of a bigger organization with different outcomes, and what you do today will impact what happens tomorrow. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the verse up on the screen, for we are God's handiwork. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We get to join in with what he's already prepared and to serve him. God's masterpiece, his workmanship. He creates each of us to join him in the work he does, the good work he has got ready for us to do. So when you work tomorrow, when you bake a cake tomorrow, when you dig a hole tomorrow, when you build a house tomorrow, this is God distributing his gifts to you to make a difference. As Simon reminded us in the think tank exercise, you know, God has given us things to do. And when we work, we use those gifts. It's God's way of making a difference into this world through you bringing life to everything that you do. Your work matters to God. It's not a sideline. It's not just a hobby. It's a place for God's kingdom to be revealed, whatever it is you're doing tomorrow. That's God's work, and you join in with what he's already doing. And God matters to your work, so just lay it down. Say, God, this is yours. I'm going to give you all that I've got to do so that your kingdom comes in one life at a time. My food, Jesus says, the thing that nourishes him, fulfills him, and keeps him alive, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I wonder if we could be involved in helping to fulfill that purpose and plan, to join him in finishing God's work, whatever it is you have to do, tomorrow and every day. Then Monday won't be manic. It'll be magnificent. And Tuesday will be terrific. And Wednesday will be wonderful. And Thursday will be tremendous. And Friday will be fantastic. And Saturday will be sensational. And then we're back to Sunday, which will be Sunday, when we get to recharge our batteries by lifting our eyes beyond here to the work that God has called us to. Work is God's idea, so let's use it for his glory, for his honor, and whatever you do, do it because you're serving him. Let's pray together.